Pop star Janelle Monáe was raised in Kansas City, Kansas. So her fans around here relate to her in a special kind of way. And though she's only recently started opening up about herself and her identity, she's been dropping hints here and there for a while, like in the song Queen from 2013. This brings us to the rallying cry of this song, which was originally called not Queen, but Queer. Even if it makes others uncomfortable. Even if it makes others uncomfortable, I will love who I am. Well, she's been making good on those lyrics after years of assuming the identity of an android. With rumors swirling about her sexual orientation, Janelle Monáe told Rolling Stone magazine that she identifies as bisexual or maybe pansexual. But that's just one piece of the human side she's revealing in her new album, Dirty Computer. The android was flawless. The human being goes to therapy, has a favorite color, and worries about being judged. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on KCUR's Central Standard, we're diving into Janelle Monáe's story, her body of work, and what it all means to people here. Janae Osterhelt of the Kansas City Star, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well.
So tell me about your first memory of Janelle Monáe, whether it's hearing her music, seeing a video, doesn't matter. First impression.
It would probably be the Metropolis. She had did a couple of mixtapes, and that was like the super Cindy Mayweather android. And I think the song's called Violet Stars, Happy Hunting, but it starts with like, I'm an alien from outer space without a heart or a mind. And that, for me, now she's morphed kind of more, I see her as like Prince, but back then I saw her as, wow, black girls finally get to have a Bjork, we get to have a Estero, we get to have kind of like this really indie, alternative, original, awkward black girl way before Issa Rae. Like, and for someone like me who's super nerdy and loves sci-fi and feels like I'm weird myself, I just saw myself represented in her. And it was just, I'd be in my Beetle. Back then I drove a Beetle, and I'd be in my Beetle just singing really loud and geeking out.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what it was that, like, the gap this was kind of filling? That
so I feel like for black women, it's not like we haven't had a few. Like, we've had Khalees, we've had some indie artists, we've had Joy, we've had some really cool, quirky Afropunk artist, but Janelle Monáe really, to me, solidified like what you, when you see a Bjork, when you see, people don't really see Estero, but Estero, she was like this really high art, chic, scientific, brainy, but also cool. I mean, we get to have you hear Cree Summer's voice in Penny and Inspector Gadget. That's a black woman, but you don't see a black woman. For me, it was like, oh my God, we get Penny. Like, and for other people, I'm sure she represents a myriad of things. None of us are like, you know, this is not Janelle Monáe-ology, but for me, it was like, I get to see myself represented. I'm like a Harry Potter geek. I like awkward music. Sometimes I still listen to Billy Idol. And I saw her and saw a freedom in that, like a liberation in this, like, everyone expects you. She says the android was flawless, but that's not how I ever saw Cindy Mayweather. I saw Cindy Mayweather as like rebellious in this this, like, they want us to be robots, but that's not who I really am.
So we will talk about a little bit more about Cindy Mayweather, the android, like all of this stuff in just a minute. But I want to bring our other guests in and ask the same question about that first impression. Rachel Christia is with us from Denver. She's a KCK native. You may know her from the band Hearts of Darkness. Now she is a vocalist with Pink Hawks, and she's also a software developer. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. It's great to hear your voice. What is your first memory of Janelle Monáe?
It's probably being the awkward, like, anime girl at FL Schlegel. And, like, basically, long story short, I had to leave Sumner Academy when I was in high school. And I grew up in KCK and ended up going to FL Schlegel. And in my English class was this beautiful girl, Janelle, who was always, like, perfectly styled. she was sort of friends of friends. We weren't really tight, but I just remember my first impression of her was definitely from, like, English and theater. And at Schlegel, that wasn't, like, a popular track, believe it or not. The idea of, like, performance and stuff like that was more centered around, like, maybe marching band. So she really, really stood out because of her interest in acting and things like that.
So that FL Schlegel, that's the school that you both went to. And can you, when you say that she was stylish, can you describe that in a little more detail?
Yes. So I guess the epitome of being a woman of color and just being like, man, how'd she get that style, is when someone has the most exquisite braids you've ever seen. Like, she had these really, really cute curly braids. And I just, even in my mind, I'm like, how did they even make that happen? And it's this really cool thing where the more and more you look at it, it's just like, that's just more of us being exactly who we are. But she was doing it back in high school. Like, the hairstyle she has now is stuff that you'd probably see, like, on, like, a YouTube fashion blog or something. But she was doing it in high school back then, and always really sweet and kind and quiet. It wasn't the easiest place to be an awkward, nerdy teenage girl, to be honest. So I'm really, it's just this thing where you're just happy to see where she landed, because I know where she started. I came exactly from that same place.
Okay, and we're going to get back to that too. But third guest, Natasha Elskari, Kansas City poet, entrepreneur, thinker, commentator. What about you?
Well, interestingly enough, it was one of my former students who reached out to me and said, "Ms. Elskari, you've got to hear this woman. She's from KCK. She reminds me so much of you." And so anytime you have a former student that reaches out and says, "I want you to hear something quirky or different," you know, it's a compliment. And I fell in love immediately. One, I thought she sounded like the young Michael Jackson. I couldn't really escape that. And the other was the android. I agree. I felt like it was about this idea of living between these worlds. And I feel the same way. Like, I feel like I'm very much a part of something and then very much not a part of it at all. Like, never quite fitting right into any one world, but being quite okay with that in my own space. And so she was just a breath of fresh air. You know, it was her sound. Her voice felt like it was her own expression. It wasn't pop. It was purposely different. And I thought she sounded amazing. So I am a person who loves voice, and the fact that I was enjoying what I was hearing, I was enjoying the skill level of her voice and then the content. So it was a win-win for me, because I really struggle a lot with what I hear women singing. And so I'm always...
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Sometimes it's just a lot of whininess of about love, and about... Even if it's lost love, is often very desperate and kind of not in the enough of the angst enough. It's just kind of just sad or begging versus the full emotion of what that is. And so I thought it was funny. You know, she had political aspects to her work as well. And so I thought it was nice that it chopped up a little bit of everything.
Well, let's go ahead and hear some of that sound. We did all, except Rachel, who's known her since high school, meet Janelle Monáe as an android. That was kind of the persona. And we'll explain that a little bit more. But let's hear Violet Starr's Happy Hunting.
I'm an alien from outer space. I'm a cyber girl without a face. A heart or a mind. I'm a bride of heaven.
Janae, you have said that this song, like, that you would just sing this in your car, that this was a big deal to you.
It was a huge deal to me. I was a very weird Black girl who also, I think Natasha was just speaking on this, like, you kind of are in these two worlds. Like, I was definitely not excluded from the cool kids table. I was at the cool kids table, but I also was watching anime and in the dark room developing pictures and listening to Nirvana and knowing every single word to Lithium. So for me,
we're squarely in the 90s.
Yes, squarely in the 90s. So and I love Bjork, and I love those type of artists that are just kind of quirky and on their own
planets
really. And that I feel like Black women, we're always the cool woman, the angry woman, the bossy woman. Like when you see them on TV, when we're represented on TV, especially back then, or just really together. Like, you know, Living Single, I loved all of them and they inspired me. But most of them were together to me. They were all older than me, so they were together. And if they weren't together, it was still kind of, they were super cool. And she was giving me permission to kind of, you don't have to be cool. You don't have to pretend that you don't leave the club to go watch Inuyasha at night. Like, just, you know, it's all good.
And so, Janae, explain Cindy Mayweather, the android, for people who just have no idea what we're talking about.
It's her persona. And, you know, rappers do this a lot. Rappers have, like, alter egos and personas, and that's her persona. It's her, like, Beyonce's full-on Beyonce now. But there was early on in Beyonce's solo career, she had Giselle. Which was like her alter ego that she got her confidence from. And for Janelle Monáe, Cindy Mayweather's is Android, who she was channeling a very specific piece of herself and expression through. I've seen her recently describe that Android as kind of being this flawless, perfect thing. But to me, the Android was giving me rebellion and permission to rebel against the system and against the machine that dictates what Black womanhood is supposed to look like and be.
Rachel, what is the android to you?
So for me, I think it's just, in retrospect, it's obviously a nod to Afrofuturism, which when I was as young as I was when her initial album came out, I didn't understand what that was or how important it was.
But what is it?
Or how important it is. So conceptually, you have to consider where a lot of people of color, especially Black people, are in America or in the world. And the only vision we really should have and can have is something that's forward, futuristic, technology driven. And it's just, you constantly see this dystopian view, and we're just trying to paint a different picture. And that's, I think, quite a bit of what Afrofuturism is to me, at least. And you saw that a lot in movies like Black Panther, where it's like people are like so hungry for that vision and that view of who we are. Octavia Butler's been writing about this for so long. Like, if you go back and read her work, it's all about us recreating our own vision of ourselves. And I feel like that's what the android did. That's what, whether or not she fully understood or meant to do it that way, like, that's what Janelle accomplished, was like, you have been misrepresented. Let me give you your own view of yourself so you can actually see in the mirror for the first time ever.
Natasha, anything you want to add about this phase of Janelle Monáe's career, this earliest period where her voice still sounds so young and she's still really entrenched in this particular persona?
I definitely sense something about flight. The android was all about flight and escape. And I felt like that in Metropolis, and it's even called The Chase, I think. To me, there's a lot of movement, not only in the music, but also in how she's delivering and the content. You know, she's an alien, but she's also running from the humans. And, excuse me. And so there, I see that is the part of the rebellion, this idea of trying to get to a place that is a safe place, but also even a running from yourself. And so the theme of flight, the theme of running, of escaping, is really in all of, you see that in all of the all of the projects that she has. And I feel like this is the one where she actually slows down. You know, the latest one, her voice is heavier. She's allowing her voice to have a more of a range.
Before we get to her newest album, a little bit more background. First of all, you know, she does come from Kansas City, Kansas. And
I was going to make a comment. I was like, I would run from there, too.
Well,
Rachel, I'm giving you a hard time.
I did run. I'm running now. I live in Denver.
Come back, Rachel. Come back.
Rachel,
I miss you, Rachel.
So she comes from Kansas City, Kansas, and her family is Baptist. We also know that she was raised by a single mom who worked as a house cleaner, and that is part of the inspiration behind one of her other uniforms, her black and white, as she calls it. Rachel, will you pick this up?
Yeah, so just if you want some KCK perspective, I can give you lots and lots of that. But, I mean, you kind of nailed it. I mean, very, very hardworking people. I mean, my aunt, my mom, I remember going on assignment with my mom working hours and hours and hours on staff as a nurse. And it's just this thing where you see people working really hard and not really getting anywhere. And there's this overarching sort of hovering of religiosity that kills anything you want to do that's creative. So it really is a miracle that she's like, I'm here, I'm black, I'm queer, I'm scientific, I'm smart, and I'm all these things, when those are things that are very easily quenched in the type of environment that we both grew up in. It's pretty common for you to see people of color have discomfort in areas like that with things like homosexuality. So there's just so much courage in what she's doing, and it's so important in that context. And I think also in terms of paying homage to her, her family, her mother, where she came from, and seeing the hard work that she put in, I think you have to always trust the entire sort of path that you're on. All of it is a part of who you are, good and bad. And I like that she looks back on that and goes, okay, so I came from somewhere, because we all have to, but that doesn't determine where I'm going to go.
You know, Rachel, I'd like you to also kind of talk about just, you talked about discomfort with homosexuality. She didn't actually come out until very recently, though she was always playing with gender very visibly.
I think in some context she mentioned herself as bisexual, and now she's saying more pansexual. And again, I think part of that is we have to ask ourselves a question, could she get as far as she has if she was as honest up front about everything she thought and everything she saw and believed?
And I think
the answer is no.
Yeah, we have proof of that in any African-American woman who's been an entertainer who's come out before. Michelle Negeochello, which I consider like the mother of neo-soul and yes. Afrofuturism, has always stayed on the periphery mm-hmm. because of her open, sexuality. If we think about blues singers and jazz singers, and it would be later in their careers, you know, before they would come out. And so I agree with Rachel. And then also the religious aspect of African-American life, big parts of it that are incredibly homophobic. And she can bend it, but you can't say it. You can kind of show it, but don't ever admit it. And those are two very different things, you know, toying
exactly.
with it and actually saying it and living it out loud are like night and day.
Oh, there's an expectation of black womanhood to be all things to all people at all times. So I feel like what she was doing was speaking her truth within the parameters we would allow for her to grow and have success. And now she's at a point where she can fully be herself. And I think it's really important to rewind a little bit. Rachel touched on so many beautiful and important things, but I think we need to really give weight, because we spent so much time with the android, to the tux, to the black and white, and to the visibility that levied. When you think about a movie like The Butler and what that did and the dialogue around that, this country is so divided by economic injustice and classism. And I mean, that's really what killed MLK, if we're keeping it funky. And she gave way to that. She's like, hey, let's give these people visibility. Let's give Natasha and I were just talking about the missing middle. Let's give them, visibility.
We're about to hear a little bit more of that song Queen that we heard earlier in the show. But Janae, can you describe the tux? She wears that tux in this video, in the video for Queen. And the video is also a really important part of it. It's about rebels who time travel, and she has been frozen in time and is sort of resuscitated by the sound of her own record. But she and a bunch of other women are all dancing entirely in black and white. And this is really this moment in her career where the tux was a big deal.
And it was also Queen is one of my favorite Janelle Monáe songs ever. But also just with her and Erykah Badu doing that together, there's a certain weight to that. And it was also the tying together of the Android and the working class. So you get Afrofuturism and the foundation from whence we come. Making it possible, kind of what Rachel was saying, like, you know, just to see, to know where she's come from and see where she's landed. All of that was coming together in that song, in that video, in those visuals, in that tux, the tailoring of it, the fit. It's just like, it's still not conventional. It's still not traditional. She's still bucking the system. She's still playing with gender, playing with identity, and also throwing her fist in the air all at once.
Let's hear, there's a rap at the end of Queen, and this really just like drives everything that might have been a little bit subtle in this song. This drives it home. Let's hear the end of Queen by Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, let's flip it. I don't think they understand what I'm trying to say. I asked a question like this. Are we a lost generation of our people? Add us to equations, but they'll never make us equal. She who writes the movie on the script and the sequel. So why ain't the stealing of my rights made illegal? They keep us underground, working hard for the greedy. But when it's time to pay, they turn around and call us needy. My crown too heavy like the Queen Nefertiti. Give me back my pyramid.
I get chills every time mm-hmm. I listen to that.
Yeah, it's so powerful because I think her first coming out, right, was being working class and working class poor. So many artists try to eliminate that part, particularly if they're not hip hop artists. And she's like, no, I'm going to actually tell you the real of that. I'm not glorifying that. I'm not telling you how pretty it was. I'm telling you what it felt like every day. And so when Rachel talks about her exquisite braids and her exquisite style, that she found a way to express that even in that rough life, that you know, low class, you know, low economic class life, is really brilliant. And then she always pays homage to her mother and her grandmother and those uniforms. That is, she said, I am wearing this as a uniform for all the people. I'm wearing black and white, you know, for all the people. And I further said, isn't it easier because then you're an artist and then you get this preoccupation with your appearance? And particularly if you are very beautiful, like Janelle Monáe, I think that they were probably constantly trying to put these things on her. And she's like, no, this is my uniform. Mm-hmm. So it was a very revolutionary approach to having a uniform. Like, this is a protection of my identity and my craft as well. She is so strategic about her life. She's so strategic about her career. And from the beginning, she has been about upliftment and calling out the big government and asking people where their power is.
Rachel, will you talk about that line? Give me back my pyramid. I'm trying to free Kansas City.
Yeah, so I think a lot of that has to do with, I mean, exactly what we've been hitting on, which is some of us remember or at least can think hard enough to do research and think of where we actually came from. I think if you were to create a narrative around people in Black America, for a lot of people in their minds, it starts with slavery. And that's just not accurate. Like, there's nothing else before that, which is why I think a lot of us are like, I don't even watch slave movies. What's for? I already know what that is. I think we already understand that. And I think she's saying, like, let's get past that. Like, let's get back to who we were and who we used to be, like rulers and kings and knowledgeable people who built languages and even things like math. They all come from Africa. That's the cradle of civilization. So give me my pyramid back. Give me my identity back.
And she
giving
does
back my culture.
Yeah, and she does say in her new album that her friends are all kings, mm-hmm. and we are going to be talking about that in just a minute.
I love that line.
We're talking about Janelle Monáe on KCUR's Central Standard. We're listening back to a conversation originally recorded in May in honor of Janelle Monáe performing this weekend as part of the Open Spaces Festival here in Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman. In a minute, we'll hear some music from her latest album. Stay with us. This is KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman talking with vocalist Rachel Christia, a former Kansas Cityan now in Denver. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Poet Natasha Elskari. Hi, Natasha.
Hi.
And Kansas City Star columnist Janae Osterhelt. Janae, hi.
Hey.
So we are talking about the life and music of KCK native Janelle Monáe, what it all means to her fans back home, and just a lot of people out there. Her new album is Dirty Computer, and it starts like this. So things have changed a lot in this album. Janelle Monáe reveals some of her struggles in, I think, a really different way, but maybe other people disagree with me here. You know, I'm curious what you have to say about this, Janelle, because you were the one saying earlier that you didn't see the Android persona as flawless.
No, I mean, I didn't. I saw it as a rebellion against what is expected of us to be flawless. And I think Janelle Monáe is still rebelling. She's evolving, of course. She's evolving out as an artist. She's really freeing herself from any need to please or fit some picture for us. She's coming into her truth and speaking it out loud.
I gotta say, in the video for this song, she and her dancers are wearing vagina costumes.
Yeah. Which I love.
I love
yes.
it.
And So good.
I was really frustrated because this wasn't the first single and it's not how the album starts, but it definitely
right, it's
the one that people are talking about. And I'm quite frankly frustrated at some of the response. I just saw a story where people were asking, was she too raunchy for The Voice? First of all, like, this is yet another example of Black womanhood being dictated and controlled. And it goes back to Queen, where she talks about, you know, she who writes the script owns the movie and the sequel. Like, this is her exercising her agency and doing it in what, for anyone, you know, Justin Timberlake can go on SNL and talk about his penis in a box and get an Emmy nomination. But he can rip off Janet Jackson's nipple shield and she gets denigrated for it. Katy Perry can show all of her boobs and talk about kissing a girl for the fun of it, not because it's actually her identity, exploit a culture, and be celebrated. Janelle Monáe makes a beautiful statement, does it in an artistic way. It's not exactly lewd. We come from vagina. Like, come on. And now it's like, oh, is she too raunchy? Because what? She took her tux off, and now you got to deal with a full Black woman who's not invisible for you? Like, just stop.
I think part of that, too, is just, like, as women, we're not really allowed to own our sexuality. It's like, if it's a voyeuristic thing where someone mm-hmm. else gets to enjoy it, it's fine. But if you're a sex worker or you're someone who's saying, this is exactly how I feel and what I want as a woman, it's appalling and offensive to people. And I love that she puts that right in people's faces. Like, you need to deal with whatever it is inside you that makes it difficult for you to accept who I am and where I am with my sexuality. I think it's beautiful.
And not even just sexuality, but with the body as a non-sexual thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she's saying, like, all of these things are pink. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, there's nothing really lewd about it. It is about just being present in the body. And my daughter, who's 14, we were talking about this, and I said, and she was like, this song is just what it is. You know, when you think about just owning your body as a body, and that it isn't necessarily for the pleasure of someone else, either woman, man, or whatever, I feel like even just owning the body, that's the politics that I really see in her art. When she says, if you try to grab mine, it's going to grab you back. To me, that was more political than it was sexual, and in response to the Trump statement. And so that is what she's saying, is that, hey, we make up 50% of the population, this pink. We all come from it. We all have pieces of it, you know, whether we're male or woman, and this is the life-giving part of it. And pink is often seen as incredibly feminine, soft, and not strong. So even how she uses her voice, it's very light, and it's very much like very tender, but she's saying really powerful words. And so, again, she just, she nails it. She nails it for me.
That's my favorite song from the new album. I know it's the one that's getting the most attention, but again, I think for everything Natasha just said, that's a big reason why I appreciate it.
So, you know, we were talking earlier about hinting at some lyrics from another song, and we're going to hear it in a minute, but it's called Crazy Classic Life. And I want to just follow up with you, Rachel, because you mentioned that you love the line I was referencing before, all my friends are kings.
Yeah. So are you going to, I don't know if you're going to play the clip or
what. Yeah, in just a minute, but go ahead and talk about it a little.
Sorry for the clip. So no, the idea behind that is just, I think she's constantly educating, which if you have a platform as large as hers, I have such a hard time with you being an artist and not reflecting the times. Nina Simone even mentioned that. Like, it's just my duty if I'm here and you can hear me to say things that matter. And I think that when she says, you know, I am not America's nightmare, that comes up over and over and over again in the song. She's like, I am not your nightmare. I am actually your promise. I am trying to make what you say America is supposed to be real. And I think we have this crazy experiment that we call all of the things that we put into our governing documents, and they're not real. And she's just saying, no, we don't need another ruler. All my friends are kings. We just want to live a crazy classic life. Like, we just want to live the life that you promised us when the way that, you know, you structured and set up this government, but that's not what's being revealed here. And I love how she's hitting on that. And if you think about things like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say, let's hear it.
Yeah, but if you think about, like, just in general, what's going on with the media, when we tell the truth, it scares the crap out of people. Like, why are people so afraid of hearing what's actually going on? And I think it's just more of that whole theme where it's easier to kind of hide and maybe not pay much attention to what's going on around you. And I feel like she's sort of bringing out things in us and people around that force us to really think about if we are saying that we, you know, all men are created equal and all these things are true about the country, when do they actually become true? It hasn't happened yet.
So let's,
it's an interesting concept. I'd like to see it.
Let's listen to this song.
You told us we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Young, black, wild, and free, naked in a limousine. Riding through the hood real slow, I love it when I smell the trees. I just wanna party hard, sex in a swim. I don't need a lot of cash,
Janae, talk to me about what you're hearing in Janelle Monáe's Crazy Classic Life from her new album.
Just to jump a little bit on top of what Rachel said, like, this is a country incredibly uncomfortable with the truth. It's my job to speak truth to power, you know, in my
as
role
a columnist.
As a columnist. And it is not unusual for me to get my life threatened for someone to want to violate my body, to be called a creature and a beast. So when she, you know, we're living in a time where, you know, Kanye West is saying slavery is a choice. I need for Janelle Monáe to have a song like this. I need for Janelle Monáe to be using her platform and saying that we are kings. I need that representation and that visibility and the amplification of the actual truth of who we are. And just the bold beautifulness of that. You know, people underestimate representation all the time. Janelle Monáe is serving it and serving it well.
When you say you need someone like Janelle Monáe singing a song like this, what is the truth that you hear in this song?
When it's freedom. You know, I want a crazy classic life. I want to be liberated. I want to be able, I can be Cardi B and Michelle Obama at the same damn time. It can happen. There's duality, there's nuance. Blackness is not one thing. Being a good Black woman is not one thing. It is a multitude of things. And I think Janelle Monáe is encompassing that. I mean, how's it start? You know, riding a limousine, young Black, you know, naked and free. Like, that is just, that's freedom. That is like, it's not lewd. It's not like, oh, I'm being a raunchy. It is this beautiful agency, this control of self, this freedom of self. She's in charge of her journey. I mean, I just keep going back to it. You know, she who writes the script owns the movie and the sequel.
And it nods to me in, as to Let's Go Crazy, but also this song takes a turn. So it's you get this feeling of what she wants, and she, my perception of it, she's with her white male friend. They're hanging out. They're doing shrooms. They're smoking weed.
So those are all things she refers to later in the song, that they're doing the same things, but different
then
things
the
happen
response,
to them.
Mm-hmm. And then it's a sharp turn in that song, which to me is so powerful because she also makes a point to say that this friend didn't stand up for her either. And now look at me. So she does a little bit of that too. She takes some punches, which I think is really powerful, to the people that didn't stand up for her when they had a chance to.
It's almost an attack on like the white liberal who,
yes, it is.
You know, will fight for freedom Woo. Until it's time to fight for you.
Yep.
It's like everyone loves Black culture, but not Black people.
Yep.
And she kind of
drives
that home.
Twice in the in the album, a couple of times.
We're listening back to one of our favorite conversations on KCUR's Central Standard. It's all about Janelle Monáe. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we have to take one more short break, but stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we are talking about Janelle Monáe. She is a KCK native whose new album, Dirty Computer, is out now. And I am talking with Janae Osterhild of the Kansas City Star. That is what I get for trying to go fast. Hi, Janae.
Hi.
Natasha Elskari, a poet. Hi.
Hi.
And Rachel Christia with us from Denver. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Okay, so now I just want to ask you guys, you know, we've hit a lot of different areas, but before we go, I feel like there's so much people came into this conversation wanting to say, and I want to make sure you've had a chance to say what you wanted to say. Rachel?
So I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is that Janelle is teaching everyone an important concept called intersectionality. Not everybody can say that consistently gay people aren't racist, or that racist people aren't homophobic, or that, you know, like people of color aren't necessarily homophobic. And I think that movements like women's suffrage specifically excluded Blacks. So the more and more that we can look at these multifaceted issues from all the angles, I think the more we can accomplish. And I think musically, she's really worked in so much of what people like me, and I think even younger generations, might need to hear to survive what we're going through right now. This is some dystopian, scary stuff. Like, think about how people reacted to Michelle Wolf's commentary about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. These are scary times. She didn't say anything that wasn't true. And if you look at it, this like sort of Handmaid's Tale dystopian thing, it's not such a far-fetched concept. And I think the more and more we pay attention to taking care of each other and our communities and watching out for one another, we can maybe turn the tide. I think another big deal is she's basically saying in so many concepts what I've always felt, which is my gender is Black, meaning my sexuality, everything, anything you perceive about me, it's going to come through the funnel of me being Black. So I have to look at it from that perspective first. And then everything else doesn't really matter. Like, does it matter if you're gay or straight? It's all a spectrum. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm super excited about the whole thing and what she's doing. It means a lot to me.
Rachel, can you just, has Janelle Monáe's story, have her lyrics, has her example been helpful or instructive to you at moments in your own life? I mean.
Absolutely. You think about what it, I mean, because I'm a performer. I've sang in bands for about 10 years, like Hearts of Darkness in Kansas City and now Pink Hawks in Denver. And we have like, it's a very similar concept, like horns and dancing. And so as a woman, I'm sometimes the only woman in the band, or at least, you know, as a front person, the way that you're perceived and the way that people take in your sexuality is so important. I've definitely had moments where, you know, and I think Janae may even remember this, like when we were in Hearts of Darkness, we made the cover of the Kansas City Star. They were like, they actually put all the members, the girls, in front of where like the Kansas is on the paper, on the front. And there are comments online, on the internet, look at these fat Black, like it was just so mean and so evil. And I wasn't ready for that. So I think the more and more you see, like, I know there have been moments where she's been criticized or like maybe been drugged through the mud, because it definitely is not okay to be like a KCK woman of color and wear suits. Like, that's not what you wear to church. Like, you better wear a dress, young lady. Like, it's very, very conformist. So there's so many things that she's done, I think, just by her own moves and her honesty and her integrity that give me courage to keep performing and doing what I'm doing. So huge, huge in terms of inspiring me to do what's important to me and feel like it's okay to stand in your truth while you do it.
Janae,
at some point, you'll be allowed.
Yeah, Janae, I mean, Rachel was just saying you might remember that moment. I mean, as someone,
I mean, I live that moment.
Yeah,
every day. I remember when it happened to her, but it's something that I deal with every day.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. People attack me every day. Like that's my lived experience all the time. I am a Black woman with a voice in this community. People want me dead. Literally, they want me dead. They want me raped. They want me hung. They want to lynch me. I'm a beast. I'm a creature. I'm a monkey. I'm a slut. I'm a whore. Like, this is stuff I hear all the time. Literally, it's not like an overstatement.
What does Janelle Monáe mean to you in that context?
Janelle Monáe is Black. She is a woman. She is a queer. This is her identity. And in this country, for her to wake up and live that truth, for that to be her experience every day, is a revolution, is a resistance. And I feel like all of us on air today, like us waking up every day and moving in this space where people love Black culture and not Black people, is a resistance. She is a reminder to continue to persist, to speak in your truth, to rise above, and to also fight for other people. Like how Rachel was talking about intersectionality, like, nobody's free till everybody's free. And Janelle Monáe is a reminder of that. So yeah, she provides release for me. She provides, you know, joy for me. And it's affirmation. It's a reminder of my purpose and what I'm supposed to be doing here.
There is one more song we're going to hear a little bit of, and this is going back to a previous album again, but this song is Electric Lady. And it sounds to me like it's meant to inspire, and I want to maybe hear a little bit of that before we go. Let's hear Electric Lady.
Electric lady, you're a star.
Later in the song, she talks about gloss on my lips, glass on the ceiling, and it's ooh, shock it, shake it, break it, baby. I mean, this is about breaking the glass ceiling.
It is definitely about breaking the glass ceiling and about still keeping your humanity and your joy in that. And I feel like that is a big part of Janelle Monáe's music, is that you're not going to take my sexuality from me, my happiness, my joy, my rhythm, my beauty. You're not going to ask me to not be who I am for your comfort, for anybody's comfort. And the courage and bravery that it takes. And I actually like that this song says lady versus girl, because within intra-racially, we use girl as a term of affection and closeness and sisterhood, but I don't like the black girl magic. I'm like black woman magic, and I know people use it interchangeably, but
can you explain what that is? Black girl magic?
Well, I mean, you know, it depends on who you ask, but basically saying all the things to me, all the oppression that is on top of you, and you are still creating and moving and thriving through that. You're thriving through it. Not only are you surviving it, you're taking it and you're making it magical. And it really is. Black women are magical when you think about even just surviving alone. You know, if white women had to live a day in black women's shoes, they would be exhausted at the end of the day. And the fact that we do it day in and day out, and, you know, like all of these women talking about, you get media press and then people fill you in immediately with their hate. That happens it's happened to me. And I wonder, has that happened to you? You know,
my answer is probably insignificant in the
context. But no, it's not that it's insignificant, but it's like, it's such a part of the expected experience. And so when you still choose to wear a mini skirt and put on a pair of high heels, even though you have people saying that they're going to rape you when they see you, or they're going to beat you up, or they hate the way you write, or you're stupid, or whatever. So I feel like this is her saying, I can act, I can sing, I'm beautiful, I can wear makeup or not, I can do whatever, and I'm still powerful. It's an anthem. Mm-hmm. Electric Lady is an anthem. It's saying, be working class, be poor, be uneducated, but you're still powerful beyond measure. And I think there are very few songs that are unifying all women. And particularly, this is a song for black women. Like, she's out here and she's popular, but she's singing songs for black women. And she's being, anybody can enjoy it, but it's for us. And I think that is what I also love.
It's, you know, we talk a lot about unapologetic blackness. And I feel like Janelle Monáe is really symbolizing what it means to be unapologetic, because it doesn't mean you don't apologize when you're wrong. It means you don't apologize for who you are. And that's a word.
You know,
and what's,
oh, go on.
Something else that's beautiful about it is that she's been able to create these entire worlds. Think about that. Like, how inspiring is that? And I think all the great musicians that we all love have done that, right? Everyone's like, oh, Bowie, you know, he recreates himself every album. Prince does it, you know? And I think part of her being able to do that helps us create a vision of ourselves, which is where we want to go and not where we've been.
You know, a woman named Nye called to share, I'm over 60 and this conversation breaks my heart, that my younger sisters are still going through this struggle. This could have been me 40 years ago. It breaks my heart. Rachel, anything you want to say to her about that?
I want to tell her that we're all sort of in this together. I think the more and more we realize that there's, regardless of age, this ability to learn and understand perspective. I think one of the things I was super inspired by, I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Cherie Brown, who's like a queen of Afrofuturism in Denver and like wrote this amazing book. But during the thing, her dad stood up and he said, honey, I'm stressed out. These times are scary. I don't know what to do. Do you have any words for us older generation? Because she is on a path and on a vision that might help guide all of us. I think all of it is just a question of being open and listening and understanding that the thing that we need that puts us back on that path of like happiness and safety and love, it might not come from where you expect it.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that she tuned in for that reason.
I'm so sorry that our time is up, but Rachel Christia with us from Denver, thank you.
Thank you.
Rachel is a vocalist in the Pink Hawks. Janae Osterheld of the Kansas City Star, Natasha Elskari, Kansas City poet. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We've been listening back to a conversation about Janelle Monáe on KCUR's Central Standard. You can share it with your friends or listen back to whatever you missed at kcur.org/centralstandard. We're going out on the song Take a Bite in honor of Janelle Monáe performing this coming Saturday at Starlight Theater. It's part of the Open Spaces Festival. And just a quick update, Janae Osterhelt, who we spoke with back in May, has since left Kansas City for Boston. She's now writing for the Boston Globe. This show was produced by Matthew Long Middleton and edited by Suzanne Hogan. Melody Rowell produces Central Standard Now, and our senior producer is Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date next.